It's about allegiance and loyalty. You don't find those words in the Bible, or I don't. But it's, you know, another definition would be faithfulness, allegiance. When you think about these playoff games that are going on now, people have their team that they're rooting for, and they've got team spirit, and it makes a difference when you're watching a game if you don't care who wins and you're just looking at it. Oh, that was a good play. I don't know, but if you're rooting for a team like Alabama Crimson Tide or Chicago Bears or the Bulls or whatever, Yankees. It does make a difference. So the same play, if you view the same play without having allegiance to the team you're watching make this play, you'd say, well, that was a great play. Did you see that? Did you see how they did that? But if you have allegiance for that team, you would end up saying, wow, man, oh, man, what a play. We're the best, yay, and you scream, you're into it more if you have allegiance or faithfulness toward that team, loyalty. So, I just say that to help expose in our minds what faithfulness is. We talk about it, and sometimes it's even used as a synonym for the word faith. You know, a person has faith, a person has faithfulness. I mean, they talk about they talk about faithfulness as being regularity. Regular at a meeting, coming to the meetings regularly. And it's not, a faithful person that has faithfulness or allegiance to a particular meeting or club or whatever would likely be regular in their attendance, but that's a result of it. What does the Bible say about what faithfulness really is and the need for it? So that's what we're going to delve into here. We're going to look at some of the verses and go through them. And again, this is an open meeting. It's an open lesson, open mic. When you've got a comment to add to it, either type it right in there in text and or raise your hand. You're welcome to the mic too, and we'll go through this together. I've got some verses lined up to go through, and they should guide us for the rest of the lesson. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, we'll start with. And it's fairly straightforward. So let's look. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So, who is he that calls us? God calls us. You can see that in first chapter of Romans, first chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's God that calls us, whether by Jesus Christ or by God the Father. We're called by God. He's faithful. So we know that it's a good thing. If God is that way, we know it's a good thing. Faithful is he that calleth you. And what does it say? Who also will do it. And that lines up good with Romans, doesn't it? Romans, the verse we were talking about a few minutes ago, Romans 4, 24 and 25. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Talking about faithfulness. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And let's see. Yeah, if we could go right through to 25 there, that would help. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And so what did it say back there in 1 Thessalonians 5:24? Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And here it says, what he had promised, he was able to do. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. And there's the if. Let me just put it up there. Okay, thanks. And 25. It shall be imputed if we do all these things that A. Lopez was talking about? No. It just says if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Well, it took the Lord's faith to go to the cross and do that death and be killed for our sins. But it takes our faith after he was raised from the dead to believe that it was for our offenses that he was delivered unto death, and that he was raised again for our justification. So there's a similarity there. You can see that in the definition of faith, actually, verse 21, what he had promised he was able to do. And we see here, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. This is all this talking is about faithfulness. It's about what this characteristic that God has called faithfulness. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, did I get it there? Oh, okay, good. Thanks. Next one will be Titus 1:9. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. But the Lord is, there's another declaration that God is faithful. And you know, that sounds like a given, but I'm glad to hear it directly from God's mouth. I mean, God put it in writing in the Word of God but the Lord is faithful and he shall establish you. That word shall is good there. It's not just will. It's a determination to do so when it says shall. Shall establish you and keep you from evil. And that doesn't mean you can't go out of his will and sin. That means he'll keep you from being from the evil one overcoming you. You know, if you let the evil one overcome you on your own, that's your own business. But I mean, we do sin. You can look in Romans 6, in Romans 7:14 through the end of the chapter there. Paul has sin. He says, I am carnal. You know, so I don't think any of us really question that we do let sin get the upper hand once in a while. And we do, you know, either cheat or you know, steal or lie about something. You know, it's common in our society today to belittle lying. Oh, it's just a little white lie. It was for somebody's good. No, a lie is a lie. You know, the Bible talks about lies. Jonathan lied, and it was for the good of David. So I don't know. We know that we're not to bear false witness, though. Not because it's in the law, but, you know, the sin. There was sin in the world before the law. We know that sin is the transgression of the law, but there was sin in the world before the law. Romans 5, I think it's verse 13. And I don't want to get down this rabbit trail too far, but let's go on with some of these verses. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word. Okay, not only God is faithful, but his word is faithful, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Sound doctrine, it says in another place, and I don't remember exactly. It's in either 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, or Titus, I know that much. But sound doctrine is defined as Paul's words, Paul's teachings. And so what Paul has written down in Romans through Philemon, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Well, this sound doctrine is written down, holding fast the faithful word. What we have in the Bible is what it's talking about today, in Paul's writings especially. So going on to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2:13. Welcome to the room. If we believe not, talking to believers there, talking to Timothy about the people he was ministering to. If we believe not, they were believers at the time, and he's saying, if believers believe not, yet he, God, abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. What he has said will happen. Same thing you can see in Romans 11:29, I think. The gifts and promises, I think it is, of God are without repentance. There we go. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God isn't going to go back on what he promised you. He's not going to go back on what he didn't promise you, but promised Israel. It's Israel's to receive those promises, not ours. Okay. So, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. We are the body of Christ. God knows us. Once we're saved, he knows us. He can never say, depart from me, I never knew you. He knows us. It says that those that are his, he knows. And so, let's go on to the next verse. Going on down through these. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So not only is God faithful, and God's word faithful, it's required in stewards to be faithful. Just before we get into that, though, but God is faithful, or you couldn't have loyalty to him. If he was wishy-washy and you couldn't believe what he said or put in his Bible, you couldn't have loyalty to him. You couldn't have allegiance to him or be faithful to him. But he is faithful, and his word is faithful. So, going on to the next step here in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward must be faithful. Must be steadfast so that people that he's serving or that he's leading can have their allegiance toward him and toward, you know, just like it says in Philippians 3:17, mark them that are, Paul says, mark them that are such as, how's that go? That believe such as we teach. Here we go. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you, that he's talking to, you have us, not just me, but us, the ones you've marked as being followers of me and me, you have us for an ensample. So, it goes on down through the ages. Those that follow Paul's doctrine and Paul are the examples, ensamples for others that come along afterwards, and they're to be marked and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. Be ye followers of me, even as I am, also am of Christ. So, we need to be faithful. We need to be to realize our stewardship. We are ambassadors. We have a message to deliver to a world that doesn't want it, for the most part, until they get in a pinch. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Excuse me, 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. It's a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, dead with Christ. Well, that let me get back to the verse. That's what it's talking about in Romans 6:3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. There's a promise. We shall live with him. It's a faithful saying, it says. We can count on it. We can give our allegiance to that, our loyalty. Count on it. Rely on it. We already said 2 Timothy 2:13. Let's jump to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And this should conclude those verses. Here's our duty. God is faithful, we are to be faithful and able to be trustworthy, and to go on a step further, and the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, heard of Paul, this is Paul speaking, so the things we heard of Paul, where do we hear that? Timothy heard it, you know, from Paul's mouth. We hear it from Romans through Philemon. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, believer, to faithful men. There's the faithful. We have to find faithful men. And we have to, we that are challenged to be faithful, charged with being faithful, we need to submit ourselves to those that are leading us, that are giving us this doctrine, well, the things thou hast heard of me, giving us those things that they heard and learned from the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's how we get the word today, is that it went on layer after layer. Those that were taught also, it says at the end of the verse, become faithful men teaching others also. And those others also become faithful men teaching others also. And we heard it eventually. There were faithful men in our background. Not only Paul, not only Timothy, Silas, but, you know, we have writers, we have examples, that people that lead us, pastor us, that show us how to rightly divide the word. There are, you know, people that I'm sure you can think of names of people that have brought us back closer and closer to the truth of what the Bible says. So what we need to do is to believe on Christ, believe on who He is and what He did for us, dying for our sins. Not just believing in Christ that He existed, or that he died for sins. Trust Him with all your allegiance, all your loyalty, your faithfulness. Trusting God who raised Him, raised up Christ from the dead. Trusting God to save you from wrath by counting Christ's death to be your death. And by that, having forgiven all your sins, counting God's righteousness to be your righteousness. And that's what God offers us today in the King James Bible. So trust Him.